أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Alhamdulillah that the day of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as the first grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam has brought us together here, inshallah, to learn more about the path of the true Islam and to find out why is it that Imam Hussein alayhi salam in fact is the protector of Islam and the protector of the Islamic unity, as inshallah it will be the topic that I'm going to share with you in this limited time available to me. One of the characteristics of all the prophets has been that none of the prophets or the messengers of God had ever asked for any reward, any wages for what they've been giving to their community. No matter how tough their time had been, no matter what they had gone through in their life, for the sake of guiding their community, they have never been on any payroll, all right? An example of that to prove that is what in Surah Al-Shu'ara, the Almighty God mentions about Prophet Nuh. And I quote, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He is talking to his community, Prophet Nuh, Noah, and says that I ask you of no reward. 950 years of mission, 950 years of working around the clock for the sake of the guidance of his community. Yet he says that I ask you of no single reward, no single penny even I'm expecting from you, no thanks to be given, no appreciation whatsoever. My wages, my reward, my appreciation rest with my Creator, the Almighty God. The same in the same surah, Surah Al-Shu'ara, is mentioned, quoted exactly from Prophet Hud, from Prophet Saleh, from Prophet Lut, from Prophet Shu'aib. So from this we can conclude that this has been the lifestyle of all the prophets, that they were not ever on any payroll, all right, for what they were giving. Even us, let's be quite frank, even if for us, if a sheikh, you are inviting a scholar to give a talk on an Islamic occasion, and then he tells us that, look, this is my rate for 2013, for example, 2014, or anything like that. If you want me to speak for half an hour, that's how much it's going to cost you. 1 hour, that's how much it's going to cost you. If he's expecting any wages in return, well, jurisprudentially, yes, it's permissible, but you see that it's looked frowned upon somehow by the community. It's not something that we appreciated. We are not expecting scholars to be greedy for dunya and things like that, let alone when it comes to the messengers of God and the prophets. And because anything that sort of will be looked upon a bit frown and turns people somehow even off, prophets are free from it. Therefore, it's a principle that none of the prophets and messengers of God ever asked for anything in return to what they had given to their community, so that no one ever doubt the sincerity of their mission, that look, he's got a business, that's his business, because he wants to run his business. Amazingly, there is only one exception that we see in the Holy Quran, that the Almighty God mentions only one of all the 124,000 prophets and messengers that apparently he has asked for a reward, for a wage, whatever you want to name it, in lieu of what he had given to his community. And more amazingly is that that is the last and the seed of the prophets, Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Shura, and I recite the ayah, and let us bless our gathering, inshallah, bless your mouth, and repeat it after me. We'll read the ayah, and then I'll explain and elaborate on it, to see that how in this ayah, exceptionally, the Prophet of Islam is ordered by the Almighty God to ask for a reward, and only one reward. Let's read the ayah first. I say it, and please, you kindly repeat after me. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا إن الله غفور شكور. صدق الله العلي العظيم. All right. Quick translation. The Almighty God in the previous ayah is telling the believers, those who've done righteous good deeds, that give them the glad tidings and the good news of Rawdat al-Jannat, gardens of paradise, eternal bliss in paradise. Then the Prophet says that there is a condition to it. You know how we see that commercials at the end, it says that conditions apply? There's a condition to it. And the Prophet says that, tell them, for all what I have done for you, for 23 years of my mission, despite all what I had gone through, I ask you, like my brothers, the previous prophets and messengers, I ask you of no reward or thank or wages, nothing at all, but except one. This exception, we don't see it with the previous prophets. And that's the secret that we want to discover, inshallah, tonight. The exception is that the Prophet says, إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Except love to my near of the kin. Huh? The only thing that I'm asking in lieu to my mission is I'm expecting you to have your love an affection, and be kind to my near of the kin, my Ahlul Bayt. And then the Almighty God continues that saying that, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً, whoever earns any good deed, نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنَا, we multiply it for them, we increase of good for them thereof. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Why is that? Because the Almighty God is oft forgiving and is always ready, most ready to appreciate. Impossible you do any good that the Almighty God does not appreciate it. So, the puzzle that we have here in this ayah, Surah Shura, ayah 23, is that the question that I may humbly have is that, my dear messenger of Allah, why is it that none of your brothers, prophets of the past, ever asked for any wages? They never asked for any reward. All of them, as I quoted from Surah Al-Shu'ara, they were all saying that my rewards rest with the Almighty God. I'm not expecting you, my community, anything. But you, the last and the seal of the Prophet, amazingly, you ask for a reward. And that is even to ask for the love of your family, your near of the kin. What is this really? What's the secret behind it? Always the best way to understand the Holy Quran is first to go back to the Quran itself. Al-Quran yufassiru ba'duhu ba'dha. Words of God, verses, and the ayat of the Quran, they interpret and explain one another, each other. Now, in Surah Al-Furqan, the Almighty God discovers part of this puzzle for us. And he's telling us that when the Prophet is asking to love his near of the kin, because love of Ahlul Bayt is the path to the Almighty God. For those who want to perfect themselves, for those who after the Prophet of Islam want to continue the path of the Prophet, the Prophet of Islam has introduced some infallible role models, has left some role models for us. And he says that if you want to get to the nearness of God, you have to love the leaders that I appoint, my successors. And why should I love them? Why not just following them? Because the Islamic system is different from a secular system. In the secular system, your president, once he wins the election, whether you like him or not, you have to accept him, you have to follow him, you have to listen to his orders, all right? Whereas in the Islamic system, we are expected not only to follow our leaders, but to love them as well. In so much as at the time of the Prophet, Muslims and the blessed companions of the Prophet, not only they followed the Prophet, they used to love him as well. In fact, they followed him because they sincerely loved him. So the same application has to continue after the Prophet of Islam, and it secures the relation. We all have experience in the uni, the subject that we do better is the subject that we love our lecturer, the teacher, all right? The more you love the teacher, the lecturer, the more you feel interested in that subject, all right? So the secret is that the Almighty God, through the path of love, is introducing a path, and by path here I mean practical examples of Islam. Follow their footsteps for nearness to me. Here is the ayah in Surah Al-Furqan that the Almighty God says, and I quote, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Qul ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr. Make no mistake. Me also, the last and the seal of the prophets, like the previous ones, I ask of you of no rewards. Illa man sha'a an yattakhidha ila rabbihi sabila. Save that whosoever wills to take a path to his cherisher, the Almighty Allah. In other words, if you are willing, if you are looking for a path, if you are looking for a role model to follow him, to take you to the Almighty God, nearness to the Almighty God, that's the reason I'm asking for the reward. That reward, in fact, is for you. And hence, in the Surah Saba, it makes it more clear. Another piece of the puzzle is introduced to us in Surah Saba, that the Almighty God says, قُلْ مَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ. My reward is in fact for your own sake. When the Prophet says that I ask you of only one reward, and that is the love for my near of the king, it is for your own sake. Once you love my near of the king, naturally you follow them. If you are sincere in your love, you will follow them. All right? In ajriya illa ala rabbil ala illa ala Allah. Otherwise, like all the previous prophets, in reality, my wages, my reward, appreciation, I'm not expecting from anyone. I'm expecting it only from the Almighty God. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in shahid. He is a witness over all things. So make no mistake, the Prophet is not in reality, his case is not exceptional to say that how come that he's asking for a wage, for a reward, and the previous Prophets, none of them, they ask for it. Yes, the Prophet also is not asking for a reward. But if you see in Surah Shura, exceptionally the Prophet of Islam, it seems to ask for a reward, is because the religion of Islam is the last, and in fact is the first, but because the religion of Islam is completed at the time of the Prophet of Islam, and that religion has to continue, and the message of this Prophet has to continue, this scripture has to be preserved until the day of judgment, and in order for this scripture, the Holy Quran, to be preserved, we need preservers. We need human role models to be around it, as I will share the hadith later on, inshallah, soon with you. So, and the Prophet says that love those leaders, you will naturally follow them. All right, salu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, so far we took it for granted that al-mawaddatu fil qurba, it means the near of the king of the Prophet. There are some technicalities involved here and some scholarly debates and discussions among the interpreters of the Quran about the application of al-mawaddati fil-qurba and the real meaning of it. Put that one aside for the school. Long story short, the easiest way to understand it is to go to the words of the Prophet, both Shia and the Sunni scholars. All have innumerable narrations quoting from the Prophet of Islam have confirmed that al-mawaddata fil qurba, as I translated it, it means the love for the near of the kin of the Prophet. In fact, they have even narrated that the Prophet of Islam has specified, has named exactly who they are and who he meant to love them. I share with you only a few examples from the Sunni books, the books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, some of the very famous and authentic books of Hadith. At-Tirmidhi, Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, quoting from Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu an, one of the companions of the Prophet, he says that the Prophet says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله إني تارك فيكم ما إن تمسكتم به لن تضلوا بعدي. I leave behind two precious things, a very famous hadith known as Hadith al-Thaqalayn. I leave behind two precious things that should you adhere to them, you will never go astray. أحدهما أعظم من الآخر. One of them is greater than the other one, of course. كتاب الله حبل ممدود من السماء إلى الأرض. The very first, the greater one, is the Book of Allah, the Scripture, the Holy Quran, the words of God, the verbatim words of God. That this is the rope from the heaven to earth. Adhere to that. Don't forsake it. Don't abandon it. This is forsaken. وعترتي أهل بيتي, and the second is my family, huh? My family, عترتي لن يفترقا. But remember that these two precious things, they will never be separated from one another. حتى يردا علي الحوض, until the day of judgment, that they arrive, they come back to me together at the pool of Kothar in paradise. Meaning, if you want the Quran be preserved, you have to have the infallible interpreters of the Quran, that is my pure progeny. فَنُظُرُوا, note the end of the hadith. فَنُظُرُوا كَيْفَ تُخْلِفُونِي فِيهَمَا. See how after me you deal with these two, the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. Alright, this is one hadith. How do we know this hadith is related to the ayah under consideration in Surah Shura? More ahadiths we have, and in fact there are so many ahadiths. I give you a reference as I quote one of the ahadiths. You can later on, if you get a chance, if you have access and you can read Arabic, to go that book. Al-Imam Suyuti is a muhaddith, mufassir, very eminent scholar of the Sunni, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of the 9th and the 10th century Islamic calendar. Alright, he has listed so many ahadiths under that ayah, confirming that al-mawaddata fil qurba is talking about the near of the kin of the Prophet. And even more precise, like this hadith that I like to share with you, an Ibn Abbas, قال لما نزلت هذه الآية, when this ayah, لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى, was revealed, they went to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, who are your near of the kin that is compulsory to love them? The Prophet of Islam says, Aliyun wa Fatima wa waladaha. See how precisely the Prophet even mentions the names Aliyun wa Fatima and her two sons, yani Al-Hasan wal Hussein alayhim as-salam. Because it's Al-Hasan wal Hussein, let me just take you now to the Hussein day and tell you the role of Imam Hussein in the Quran, in terms of that ayah, that how much as Muslims, it's not a Shia Sunni issue, as inshallah I share with you, prove it through the words of the Prophet. As Muslims, you are expected to love him. So let's look at the personality, the characteristics of Imam al-Hussein in the eyes or from the eyes of the Holy Prophet of Islam. First, al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih narrates that kana ashbaha an-nasi bi Rasulillah, yani ka Imam Hussein alayhi salam resembled the Prophet of Islam more than anyone else by his appearance, accent, character, and anything. In so much as his son, the Imam says about his own son, Ali al-Akbar as well. So before Ali al-Akbar, Imam Hussein alayhi salam resembles the Prophet most. So imagine those who stood against him, killed him in a barbaric way, slain him, And some of them had seen the messenger of God. Imagine the atrocity that they had committed. Imagine how cruel and how vicious those people would have been. They see someone, how much he resembles, apart from the blood relation, that he's only the grandson of the prophet. Yet look at what they did to him. Al-Imam al-Juwayni, again one of the very eminent scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he narrates also in his book Fara'id al-Simtain, very good and valuable book, that he says, again quoting from the Prophet, that إِنَّ قَاتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ فِي تَابُوتٍ مِّن نَار عَلَيْهِ نِصْفُ عَذَابِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. SubhanAllah, it's a long hadith. I'm sharing with you only part of it, where that the Prophet is foreseeing the tragedy of Karbala, and the Prophet talks about the chastisement that those who created the atrocity of Karbala and the murderers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam will go through on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet says that the killer, the murderer of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, will be in a coffin made of fire, and half of the chastisement of the people of the hell is only for this guy. SubhanAllah, it's beyond our imagination. We cannot really fathom what those people are going to go through. Again, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the four Imams of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in his book Musnad, he narrates a very amazing hadith that we have narrated, the Muslims all have narrated it, again from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn, ahabballahu man ahabba Husaynan. Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. May God love all those who love Husayn. Hussein is from me is obvious because he's my grandson. But what does it mean that the Prophet says that I am from Hussein? Going back to that ayah in Surah Shura, if you want the religion of Islam preserved, safeguarded, my mission and message is safeguarded, Hussein is the one who will carry that mission. And therefore, I am from Hussein, meaning that if up until today still we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's because of the revolution and the sacrifice of my grandson, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now look at the other side of it, the other side, the vicious side of that coin, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Who was Yazid? Historians, again, Tabari has mentioned, Zahabi has mentioned, Mas'udi, so many historians, it's not a Shia narration, have mentioned that he was a kind of a person that he was drinking alcohol openly and shamelessly. He is the one that while once he was drunk, they have mentioned, historians have mentioned that he was drunk and he started in a poetic way revealing his heresy and his kufr. لعبت هاشم بالملك فلا خبر جاء ولا وحي نزل لست من خند فإن لم أنتغم من بني أحمد ما كان فعال. You know what he's saying? He says that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Muhammad played with the kingdom. He was after a kingdom. There was no message. There was no revelation. Don't be fooled with all these things. And then he says, I'm not the son of my father if I don't take revenge from him for what he did to my ancestors. You know that some of his ancestors were killed in the Battle of Badr. This is the other side of it. And I'm quoting this from Tazkiratul Khawas, one of the, again, very eminent Sunni scholars, Ibn Jawzi. All right. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, brothers and sisters, was definitely the savior of Islam in his era, in his time. Look at what he says in a letter that is one of the most authentic piece of history. The Imam, in his communication with the governor of Medina, before he starts his mission and leaving Medina, he says, we are the family of the prophecy. We are the source of the message of the Prophet. Angels, they communicated with us, they trafficked to our houses. This is us. وَيَزِيدْ رَجُلٌ فَاسِقٌ. Yazid is a sinful person. شَارِبُ الْخَامْرِ. He openly drinks alcohol. قَاتِلُوا النَّفْسِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ Killing innocent people. Which Muslim would not stand against this? It's not a Shia issue, Imam Hussein. The revolution of Imam Hussein, in fact, goes even beyond Islam. That's why Mahatma Gandhi even says that Hussein is my role model for the liberation of India. All right? مُعْلِنٌ بِالْفِسْءِ And note the last part of the words of the Imam. The Imam says, وَمِثْلِ لَا يُبَايِعُ لِمِثْلِ A person like me, impossible to pledge allegiance with a person like Yazid. See how Imam Hussein alayhi salam is setting a path, a principle for us, referring to that ayah that the Prophet says, if you want my mission not to be wasted after me, not to be perverted after me, you got to love Imam Hussein, you got to love my Ahlul Bayt, these people that I'm introducing you, because they are the ones that they show you the right path, not people like Muawiyah and Yazid. Alright, therefore the Imam says, someone like me does not pay allegiance to someone like him. In other words, even today, and that answers the question of why is it that every year we are reviving the story of Karbala? Because we need to remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, every year, do not pledge any allegiance to a person who drinks alcohol, to a person who commits sins, to a person that kills innocent people, and etc., etc. All right, as our leader did not pay allegiance. Imam Hussein alayhi salam clearly said that if I did not sacrifice my life and the life of all around me, وَعَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ السَّلَامِ اِدْغَى الْبُلِيَةِ الْأُمَّةُ بِرَاعٍ مِثْلِ يَزِيدٍ Goodbye to Islam, give farewell to Islam, if the Muslim community is afflicted by a leader, ruler like Yazid. Huh? So, now we see why the Prophet was asking, in lieu of 23 years of his hard mission, the love of near of the king, because these are going to be your role models until the day of judgment. Follow their path. It will take you and bring you closer to the Almighty God. Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, in her very famous sermon known as Khutbah Fadakiyya, she says, the Almighty God has made وَطَاعَتَنَا نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ If the Muslim community, they want to be organized, they should obey us. وَإِمَامَتَنَا أَمَانًا مِنَ الْفُرْغَةِ And our leadership, God has made it a protection from any division in the Muslim ummah. So if really the Muslim ummah, they want to be united on the right path, we should all follow the teachings of Quran. Surah Ash-Shura made it very clear to us to not waste the mission of the Prophet. We got to love his near of the king, and the names are specifically mentioned. And not just to say, I love them to follow them. With the path of love, follow them. Let me share with you, and this is what I conclude, inshallah, part of the history of Karbala. Again, an example of application of the ayah in Surah Shura. When the caravan of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam were taken as captives of war, imagine that the family of the Prophet are taken as captives of war and they are entering the city of Damascus, then Sham, Syria, the capital of Yazid alayhi al-la'na. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is on a camel. Ladies, children, all either widows, mothers of martyrs, sisters of martyrs, and very young children, most of whom they were young girls. Very, very painful situation we observe there, right at the gate of the entrance of the city of Sham. Damascus. Tabari narrates, and I quote, that Lamma ji'a bi'Ali ibn al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu asira. When Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was brought to Syria as a captive of war, fa'uqima ala daraja Damashq. Then Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is at the gate of the city. A man from this city, an ignorant person, who was brainwashed, itineran قام رجل من أهل الشام فقال الحمد لله الذي قتلكم واستأصلكم. Thanks to God who killed you and uprooted you, you people who stood against Amir al-Mu'minin Yazid. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam turned around, looked at him and noticed that this old man is ignorant. Therefore he said to him that أَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ يَا شَيْخ. You old man, have you read the Qur'an? The man says, of course, I know the Qur'an off by heart. The Imam says, what about this ayah? قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. That the Prophet is asking for no reward but the love of the near of the kin, his near of the kin. The man was amazed. He was like sort of dumbfounded. He says, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَأَنْتُمْ هُمْ. He got the message. He says, are you the near of the kin of the Prophet? And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam goes, Na'am, yes, we are. Let me introduce myself to you. Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Fatima ibn Ali bint Rasulullah. I am the grandson of the Prophet of Islam. And that lady that you see ahead, she is also the granddaughter of the Prophet of Islam. The man was so, he felt so guilty. He fell down to kiss the feet of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. And the Imam said that if you want to help, if you want to do anything, do you see that our ladies, they didn't have enough clothing to cover themselves properly? And all these men are staring at the children and the daughters of the Prophet. This is really hurting all of us. Oh man, if you can, give some money to the one who is holding the head of my father, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, to carry the head forward so that it distracts the attention of all these men, so that our ladies are not looked at. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. صلوات.